about covenants, or what's significant about covenants that you've learned?
Covenant properties.
What does that mean? Like, I'm just pretend I'm the student, and you teach what covenant property means. Oh, the properties of a covenant is there's conditional and unconditional. Okay, all right, good. What else? Just kind of throw it out there. So keep throwing it out there until I get the right picture, okay?
Signs and symbols.
What does that mean?
Signs and symbols of a covenant, like, for example, like Noah's, like the rainbow.
Oh, okay. There are signs and symbols that are associated with covenants, such as the Noahic covenant has the rainbow as a symbol. Yeah. Rainbow is really cool, by the way. I don't know how many of you, I don't know if Pastor Alex taught this. If he did, if I start saying things that he's taught you, just go ahead and interrupt me and say, no, we already know that, because I want to move on. I have other things to share with you. Don't need to hear me say the same thing again that he has said. Don't be courteous. You don't need to say, Pastor James talking, I can't interrupt him, but I'll just sit here and listen to the same thing, okay? All right? Rainbow is really cool as a symbol. You know why? Because I like to do that, I like to share this with our kids, because rainbow is a scientific, from a scientific perspective, rainbow is only formed with what two out, with what two conditions? Under two, what two conditions?
I guess rain.
Rain and?
Sun.
Rain and the sun, right? When do you see a rainbow?
After it rains.
Only after it rains, but you don't always see a rainbow after the rain. Only when what? The sun comes up, do you see the rainbow? Why? Why? Because when the white light hits each one of those raindrops that's still lingering, it... What? Not re... Okay, see, I'm not your science teacher. I gotta take away from my science and engineering background here. It's not reflect, it's refract. Okay. But the general public don't... You know, to the general public doesn't make a difference, but I've been beating it in my 6-year-old. It's refract, not reflect, and I'm like, what's refract? There's a difference, but okay, this is not a science class, I'm not gonna tell you what the difference is. Anyways, the light goes through each and every one of those droplets of water, and because the waters are at a different position, so the color of the light that comes out through that lens, right? It's like a lens. It bends, and then it breaks the sunlight into the beautiful spectrum of rainbow, right? See, that's the science behind it. But would nobody ever ask the question, why? Why does light hit a prism or with an optic lens that it will refract? And why is it that when it refracts, it's this color? Why? There's no answer. Different wavelength. Sure, yeah, it is different wavelength, but why? Why is different wavelength give different color? Why is it not like ugly three colors? Like the way I mix color, like brown and green and what's another ugly color if you put brown and green together, Zabi? Like really bad, yeah. Yellow, green, and brown. Like, oh my God, that's a death, color of death. But it's not. It's a beautiful spectrum of rainbow, right? It's all because of God, right? See, the symbol of God's promise to Noah of you will be saved and that there will never ever be a flood again because of judgment. And that's my promise to you is through the rainbow. And the rainbow is because the way God created light. And it's because when light refracts in the rain, it shows, hey, the rain has stopped because the sun came out. It's not gonna happen again, right? It's beautiful. Okay. All right, what else? Anything else?
You can make good covenants and bad covenants.
Okay, what do you mean? Like, you could do good covenants and bad covenants.
You can make foolish ones. Like, examples were kings making it with other kings and not trusting in God. And then these good ones where you make it with God.
Mm-hmm.
You trust in Him and He, like, provides for you.
Okay, all right. Good, good. Anything else? Did you guys get to anything about, like, okay, now we learned about biblical covenants. We learned about the covenants God made with men. Now Josh was talking about, just covenant-wise, we can actually make covenants or agreements, right? Binding agreements with one another. Some are wise, some are foolish, some are out of our own desire, some are out of honoring God. Yes, all of that. So besides these kind of information, did you guys ever get to anything about, like, how does that impact my life? How does knowing about covenant now? Now I have some knowledge about covenant. How does that impact my life? Did you guys get there? In your small group discussion or in your lesson? Yeah? Okay, give me some of that. I see some nodding of heads, so give me some. What are they?
Well, he asked general questions like what's the importance of covenant in your life? And
okay.
We talked about it in small groups. We'd say things like the covenant keeps us focused on what's important in our life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes covenants are conditional, like God says you must worship me in order for such and such to take place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a reminder to mm-hmm. keep us focused on what's important.
Right, sure. Oh, by the way, everybody, you know that Tim is a father now?
Yeah.
Do you all know that?
No.
You gotta say congratulations, Daddy. His daughter, you want to tell us your daughter's name and when she was born?
She was born on Tuesday. Her name's Noelle, and she's very healthy.
Yeah. Baby girl Noelle. Yeah, exactly. That's all we expect of a kid at that age, and that she's doing everything perfectly. Eat and poop and sleep. That's it. Three things to do.
Mom's well, too. She
mom's
got
well. Yeah. So good. And what does Noel mean, you know?
Christmas.
Yeah, Noel means Christmas. Last week when I was talking about the birth of Jesus, I was looking at them, I was thinking about that, I almost wanted to bring that up. Just so beautiful to have a baby come into this world during Christmas. All right, so that's good. Today I want to share with you guys something a little bit different. Okay, not going on Pastor Alex's teaching on the covenant, okay? Just take a little detour, I guess, but something I think is very important and very pertinent to us. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Or not just 7 and 8. Let's say Ephesians chapter 2. How about 8 through 10? All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I think most of us now are using the ESV, correct? Okay, so let's read it. If you have a different version, that's fine. Read along, it's no problem. But we'll go ahead and read these three verses together, okay? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we want to give you thanks for bringing our combined choir to our church this morning, and we may worship together, Lord, with their beautiful songs and even their skit, but bring us really before you, remembering that you are the one who's worthy of our praise, you're the one who's worthy of our worship, and that together as a church family, Lord, we really, really are blessed. We want to continue to pray for their ministry this morning and for all those who are gathered this morning in the sanctuary. Especially, we also want to pray for our friends and family. I know many have invited who do not know our Lord Jesus Christ yet, Lord. And our prayer is that because of the Christmas story, because they see the way that Christians worship and love their God, that these family members, these friends of ours, they may be able to come to know you as well, Lord. And with the Sunday schools and the children's programs this morning, we all pray, Lord, that your word may speak to us, and we all pray that your spirit may move in us. I want to put the fallen time in your hand, Lord, and we want to set it apart for you. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This is I think for many, this is a familiar verse, right? Especially verses 8 and 9. A lot of us not only know this verse, but a lot of us have committed that to memory. Right? Is that true? Right? that we are saved by grace. And we know that we're saved by grace, but we're not saved by works. It's by grace and through faith. And the ESV, my personal favorite translation, just so you know, not that it's the only best or perfect translation, just my personal favorite is actually the NASB, the New American Standard Version, okay? And that's the Bible that I've used the most for study. But ESV is a good translation. It's a very, very solid translation from the original text, and it's more in modern English. So that's why we selected that version as the general version we use at the church, okay? But for this verse, the ESV says, for by grace you have been saved through, ESV says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And some of you who have memorized this, either in the older NIV version or the NAS, would say, and this is not of yourselves, right? This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then ESV then further goes on to say, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. So we all understand this concept that salvation is by faith. It is by us believing in God, but not just believing in a God. It's believing that God is the only God, believing that God is the only way to salvation. It is believing that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, and it is that belief and trusting, right? The belief is not just a mental exercise. I believe this is true. No, it's I believe that this is solid. This is grounded. And my heart can be rested on it. And I can have confidence on it. And so that's what I believe. It's not the existence of God and that Jesus was a real person. No, it's the belief that he is God. And that salvation is found nowhere else but him. And the belief that my sins can only be forgiven through the death of Jesus, and my life can only come because of the resurrection of Jesus. That's the belief, right? We know that. That's the belief. And that's the faith. But ultimately, this salvation is God's grace, right? It's not what we do. We all understand that, right? Is that our concept? That it's not what I can do. I don't earn my salvation. I cannot do enough amount of good works. I cannot live good enough of a life so that I may be saved. We all understand that. We've been taught that way. We believe that way. But when we continue to read this passage, see, the scripture in this part is not 8 and 9 stand alone. The passage, and those of you who memorize, how many of you memorize this passage, by the way? Romans 2, 8, 9. How many of you? Ephesians? No, if you memorize it, raise your hand. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Okay, two, like three and a half. I don't know how, I don't know what three and a half. And there's this, like, I don't know what that is. That's kind of, not. I did one time, but now I forgot. I guess that's what it is, right? Like one time I remembered, like. But I want to tell you this, and I want to encourage all of you to memorize this passage. Okay, this is a very, very important and a very powerful passage. And this is a passage not only will nourish your souls, this is a passage that you can use to share the gospel. I mean, What better use of scripture are there than to nourish my soul and to share the gospel? That's like what I want to use the scripture for, right? But don't memorize only 8 and 9. You have to memorize 8, 9, and 10 together. That's a unit, okay? Those of you who've memorized 8 and 9, make sure you add 10 to it. Those of you who hasn't memorized it, memorize Romans 2, 8 through 10. And those of you who just, like me, maybe no longer have the capacity to memorize for whatever reason, okay, that's okay. We'll go with the American education style. So long as you can find the reference, that counts, right? If you can't find the reference, you know, something about grace, something about faith, something about salvation, something about work, something about sharing the gospel, something about nourishing my soul. I can't memorize it, but I know where it's from. Where? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Or you're a visual person, like me. I don't remember Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. But you know what? It's Ephesians something. And I know where in the Bible it is. How many of you memorize your verse that way? I can always find my Bible verse by knowing where it is. Like, oh, it's on that page, and it's kind of like this, and it's on that area, and I maybe made a mark, and I just keep flipping. I'm like, it's not 3, it's not 2. Oh, right there. It's right there. So when you give me your Bible, I can't find it. But when it's my Bible, I know it's right there. How many of you memorize Bible that way? That's a visual learner. That's okay. It's okay. So you can do a visual learning. That's all right. You could do a referential.
Okay.
But if you really want to challenge yourself, commit the word to memory. Even for those who have bad at memorizing, if you can get the large gist, I think God will count that as good. Because God wants us to have his word in our heart. Okay? Memorize Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Why? Because look what verse 10 says. Okay, let's read that together again. Because I think verse 10 is not as familiar to us. Okay? Let's go. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right. We talked about work before, right? What did verse 8 and 9 say about work? What's that, Val? Not as a result of work. Yes. So what it's saying about work there is to say what? It has nothing to do with work, right? But then in verse 10, it says what? The word work shows up again. Okay? What does it say, verse 10, with respect to work? Okay, it says we are created in Christ Jesus for works. So now work is related to us, right? The verse before says nothing to do with work. But this one says it has everything to do with work. Well, what is it? Is that a contradiction? How can work both be nothing to do with and everything to do with? Did these verses ever give you that question? I'm not asking a rhetorical question. I'm not answering it. I'm looking for you for answer. You're like, yeah, that's right. That's right, Pastor James. That's right. I don't know. It's contradiction. Okay, give me the answer. No, you give me the answer.
We were created by Jesus to do good works, but doing good works doesn't necessarily mean to gain us our salvation. It's because God gave us salvation.
Okay, can you guys all hear that?
No.
Okay, Joshy says, do you want to try again louder towards them?
So,
I love this class.
God created us to do good works. However, doing good works doesn't necessarily mean that earns us our salvation, because God gave us our salvation as a gift.
Sorry, again.
I only wish my Chinese Sunday school was like this. They're all very different. All right. So, right? Does that make sense? Kind of makes sense, yeah? So, it has everything to do with work in respect to why God saved us. The purpose of God saving us has everything to do with good works. But work in itself, or good work, has nothing to do with being saved. Wow, that's, does that kind of blow your mind? Okay. Because our concept, think about it, when we think as Christians that work has nothing to do with our faith. I wasn't saved because of work. There's nothing I could do. I already know I'm a wretched, poor, weak person, sinful, and there's nothing I can do to please God. So now, by grace of God, by faith, I've become a Christian. So work has nothing to do with my faith. That's our general sense. You know that? Because we're saved by faith, not by works. We all know that. We say that. And we kind of live that, right? We have to take God's word and live it out, don't we? So we live a life of faith that is not related to works. Okay. But see, we have to be really careful then, right? That's the problem with only knowing 8 and 9. Because 8 and 9 is incomplete, right? Work has nothing to do with how we can gain or receive salvation, because there's nothing that we can do. But then, God saved us unto work. Now, Scripture is very, very interesting. You know, this is what's amazing about the Bible. It's not just that it gives truth. It's that God gives truth very specifically. I know when Joshua shared, he said, yeah, good works is what Jesus saved us for, but good works doesn't get us saved, right? But the Bible doesn't say that. Okay, I'm not saying he's wrong. We understand the concept, but I'm saying that when God gives us his word, it's so precious and so precise. Why? Because in verse 9, it didn't say not as a result of good works. Do you see that? It just said it's not as a result of works. So even in this presentation, even in the way that God revealed his word to us, he already told us that these are two different things. It's not the same. It's not good works get you saved, and then you're saved to do good works. No, it's works has nothing to do with being saved. But when you're saved, you need to do good work. So already it's showing us that it's different.
They're inside the box.
Inside here? Because
yeah.
It needs to be hidden, right? So the kids won't take it. All right, good. I knew that. I knew it was hidden somewhere. Okay. Because I think it used to be hidden like up here or something. All right. There's two different things. So now if we start to think about that, right? I think we're all believers here, right? We're all saved. We all know work has nothing to do with it. And we all know that no matter how hard we try, we want to be good Christians, don't we? We want to love God. We want to do God's work. But we know even as Christians, in God's grace, no matter how much we try, how much we do, we still what? Fall short. You know, God's standard is so perfect. I have to ask for forgiveness. I just kind of suck. You know, I want to love God, but I'm like a sucky Christian. By the way, guys, I hope that those of you who grew up in our church or, you know, have been in our church for a long time, that we never, never label ourselves as a so-called, like a lukewarm Christian, right? And that we're never, never going to see our Christian life as a fluctuating up and down kind of a Christian, okay? I'm sure Pastor Alex shared this with you, but I know I shared this with you in the class before too. Because today there are some Christians who feel that even as a Christian, our life is just up and down, right? Do you have that feeling? Like that we have the spiritual highs. You know, I love God, everything's good. I'm praying, I'm reading the Bible, I'm serving the Lord, and then like I'm demonstrating love and care, but then there'll be time where it's like down, right? Like I don't want to touch the Bible, I don't want to pray, I don't want to go to church, I don't want to do anything spiritual, and I just know I suck, right? And then, but it'll get back up. And as I'm up, I just know I'll go down again. And that's just kind of how Christians are, you know? You know the Christian up and down, don't you? You guys know the Christian up and down? Right? Okay. I don't want us to be like that. We're not like that. Christian life is not like that. Christian life is always a growth pattern, just like our physical life, right? Can you imagine if you were a person who, like, you're like, oh, last summer I grew like an inch. I'm so happy. But no, life, you know how life is, up and down, you know? So, like, it'll be the down part where, like, you know, next summer I'll lose 2 inches. Can you imagine that happening? Okay, I mean, does that work? Does that process? What kind of life is that? If your life is like, don't, and you're like, oh, nice. Oh, I'm like, yeah. Oh, don't worry, next year I'll go up. But you know how it is. It's up and down. Can you imagine that? How about your intellectual life? I mean, I know some of you might feel that way, but it's not real, right? I mean, like, oh, I'm doing calculus. I'm doing, like, you know, that calculus is still high school, right, or college. You're like, I'm doing, like, linear algebra. And they're like, oh, but, like, next month, I'm like, geometry. That's my level, algebra. Like, I don't know the linear part. Some of you don't know what linear algebra is. Linear algebra is not the same as algebra. I thought it was, and it was super hard. It was not like algebra at all. Like, oh. I'm back to, addition and subtraction. Like, I can't do multiplication, right? Does that work? It doesn't, right? Because when your knowledge grows, it grows. Now, I know there are moments you feel like you're dumber than you were, like, last week, right? Right? Because I know you do, because I do that. Like, sometimes you feel you're kind of smart. You're like, oh, I got this. Got an A. Pretty good. And then they're like, oh, I'm dumb this week. I don't understand what I'm reading or what I'm doing. Do you feel that way? Okay, yeah. That's the little bit of up and down, but then you're not going to be dumber than you were last year, right? Right? Your knowledge continues to grow, doesn't it? Your physical life continues to grow, right? Because that's life. So spiritual life, this life that we have in Christ, is alive. When it's alive, it grows. There's going to be the up and down, but this is not Christian life. It's not a cycle that swings back and forth only. It's a life that grows. It has to grow because the Spirit is at work in us, and because we're trying, right? Do you need to eat to grow? Yeah. You want to know how to not grow and like lose some height? Don't eat. Well, you'll die too. But you won't grow, right? Your mom tells you that. Drink some milk. Why are you not drinking milk? Why are you not eating your proteins? You're not going to grow tall. Right? You want to grow in your knowledge and your intellect? You have to study, right? I want to know more about biology, but I just want to take like freshman bio, that's it. Well, then you'll never know anything more about the wonders of God's creation in the biological world if you don't take that harder class, right? I was talking to somebody, this is why she doesn't like to be in my Sunday school class. I'm not going to say her name, but then, and that's not just her experience. I know all of you have this experience. There are some classes you take and they're very hard. I mean, they're so hard that you rack your brain and you can't understand, right? You all have that experience. I have that experience before. You know it's important. You know you need to learn it, but you can't figure it out. But you know what? You keep doing it, right? You keep doing it, and then one day you'll learn it, and you get it. And that's growth. That takes effort. Does it not? Physical growth takes effort. Intellectual growth takes effort. Spiritual growth takes effort. Okay? And so we cannot, because we're Christians, and we think we have this theology of work has nothing to do with our salvation, so therefore our spiritual life has nothing to do with work. Because that's not even theologically correct. That's not even biblical, right? Because the Bible tells us very clearly, for we are his workmanship. See, it's also interesting that word work is in there, right? His workmanship. God did work. It's not our work, but it's God's work. We were saved because of God's work, right? It's not that there's no work involved. It's just none of our work can amount to anything. But God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, he did all the work for us. He gave us the ability and the foundation and the life, just like he gave us our physical health so that we can grow. He gave us our intellect, our mind, so that we can grow. He gives us the spiritual life, the essence of true life, so that he did all the work, but so that we can also do not just work anymore, but what work? Good work. Which God, see, had prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. How many of us have this concept? How many of you have this concept that I thank God that I'm a Christian now? I know I'm going to heaven. I know that God will save me. I know God protects me. I know God nurtures me, and he gives me life and accepts me and forgives me of my sins. We all know that. How many of us know that actually God has a purpose of doing work, good work for him, because he has already prepared that before he even saved us? How many of you have that concept? Okay, some of you do. Good. Some of you do. How many for you this is like the first time you kind of thought about that? Right? I know that this is not the first time you read this verse, but this is the first time that concept came to our mind. I want to teach, this is Sunday school class, right? So I need to teach you something. So I don't know if so far I've taught you something, but I'm going to teach you something right now. Okay. Have you guys been learning Greek in this class? You have? Yeah. Do you get... How many of you like learning Greek? Okay, I'm going to make Greek fun for you. Like, Greek. It's all Greek to me. How many of you are engineers or are studying to be an engineer? Only, and I know they're, yeah. Oh, man. Wrong class. All right. I only say that because if you're an engineer or you're studying to be an engineer, at least you know some Greek alphabets. You have a leg up in learning Greek. But it's okay, I'm gonna make Greek fun for you and Greek meaningful. Now, why are we talking about Greek? What's the point? Greek, the Bible was not written in English. Okay? God, Jesus did not come to America, contrary to what some cult believe. Jesus did not come to America. Jesus did not come to America in like the 1400s, okay? Jesus was a Jew. He lived in the Middle East. He was a Jew. And during that time, they spoke Greek, all right? I mean, the written language was Greek. Actually, they spoke Aramaic, all right? That's a spoken language, all right? That's like American slang versus the actual proper English, okay? So when God chose that moment for Jesus to be born, God chose that language to be the one written by the apostles because he wanted to use that language to communicate. There's that purpose. Now, that is not to say that translated Bible is not inspired by God. That's not what it's saying. In fact, all the Bible translations we can understand as long as they're faithful to the original text. The Chinese, the English, the Japanese, Korean, whatever language, Russian, Italian, they are Bibles of God's word that can allow us to understand God's mind. But as we grow in our knowledge of God, knowing some Greek help us understand why did God choose to use that word? And there's associations that we won't find if it's just in English, because the Greek language have words that has different connotations. Any of you who learn, how many of you have learned foreign language or know a foreign language? The rest of you don't speak Chinese, right? Okay. Spanish? German? I mean, that's all foreign language, okay, right? Italian? Right? Tim, do you know a foreign language? Other than English? German? Spanish? Yeah, that counts. A little bit. Yeah, we all know a little bit of something. But as little as we know, in any language, when you convert to another language, it's not exactly precise, right? Sometimes they have double, triple meanings that you just can't convey in the same word. Isn't that true? That's the same thing with Greek.
So let me just show you something. I'm not going to do too much, but I want to show you something, okay? I'm not going to write Greek. I'm going to write the English. So you can write it down. You can understand, okay? There's no point for me to put the Greek letters and alphabets up here. You can even read it and understand it. Agathos.
The English word for agathos, what do you think agathos sound like? There is an English word for it, but it's a name. It's a girl's name.
Agatha.
If you're named Agatha, or you name your child, you want to name a good name, I name the girl Agatha. Noelle is really good too. Naomi's really good. I really love this name. Tim and Joe, they really know how to pick names. Those are really two great names. But Agatha is a really good name. Why? Because Agathos occurs in the New Testament over 100 times. And agathos means good. Okay? When the Bible here says, Jesus, God saved us through Jesus, he created us, he gave us this new life. He created us. I don't go get ahead of myself. But when we are saved, brothers and sisters, we're not just like our regular life added on to some blessings, and now we're gonna go to heaven. Do you know, when we are saved, we are created again. When you see the word creation, when you think of in the Bible, right? Created in Jesus Christ, what do you think of when you think of the word create? Where do you go to when you think of create?
Genesis.
That's what the Bible's doing, that's what Paul's doing. You are created in Jesus. Why did he say create? Because create brings us back to when God created us. When God created us. When God created us, let's go to Genesis. When God created, how did he see his creation? You remember? Okay. Genesis chapter 1 is creation, isn't it? All right, let's just pick one of the verse, okay? It's throughout this chapter, but let's just pick one verse, okay? Let's do verse 10. All right, let's go to the back. Scott, can you read that for us?
I'm sorry, I don't have it yet.
You don't have, okay, that's all right, no problem. All right, Elaine.
God called the dry land earth, and
and the waters that were gathered together, he talked seas, and God saw that it was good.
And God saw that he was good, right? Actually, throughout chapter 1, God, every day God made creation. If you read through it, God created the animals, God created the plants, God created the light, God created the heavens, God created the stars and the sun and the moon, and he separated the land and the waters, and he created the plants, and he created the birds, and he created the fish, and then he created all the animals. Every time he created, he says, God saw that it was good. It was good. And then, of course, at the end of chapter 1, verse 31, after God has created everything that is good, and then he created men and women. That's the sixth day. And after everything's done, what does God say? Let's read that together. 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. When God says something is good, it's not like when you and I says good. It's the way God says it's good. Good is perfect. When somebody says, what was that? When I say good is what?
Agathos.
Is that true? Okay, hold on. Yeah, that's good. Hold on, hold on. This guy's jumping ahead a little bit, but. God says it's good because what God has made was perfect. In Genesis 1, when good was introduced, was there evil? There was no evil. It was pure. It was perfect. Evil did not exist. Sin did not exist. So now, Ephesians chapter 2, when it says, we were created in Christ Jesus, you know what has happened? When Jesus came and saved us, God brought us back into what his original intent of creation was, which is good, which is perfect, which is pure, which is without evil, which is without sin. And that good works, that good is agathos. Now, the side note, very important note, Josh said, Genesis chapter 1, that good God was good, that's agathos. No, it's not. Why? Because the Old Testament time, the Greek language wasn't there yet. Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Okay? So don't make that mistake. Oh, agathos in Genesis. No, it was Hebrew. So it's not agathos. But that's okay. That's okay. It's still the connotation of the concept of good. It was the Hebrew word. Okay? So that's okay. But this good relates to God. This is not just like, what would you like for dinner tonight? Pizza or fried chicken? Nah, pizza's good. No, it's not that good. It's not, are you good to your friend? Like, are you being nice to them? Are you caring? No, it's not that good. It's good because God is good. If God was good, that's the standard of goodness. Do you understand that? It's God's goodness. God is good because he is perfect, because he's pure, because he is without evil, because he's holy, because he is righteous, because he is without sin. And that's the state that we need to be created in, right? But now, so now that we are created that way, so we have the salvation, we have that new life, that's why we are created in him to do good works, okay? Works, you don't need to learn this, not that, I'm not gonna focus on that, but work is ergon. So good works is ergon agathos, okay? Ergon is work, so agathos. But let's take a look at a very interesting concept here, okay? When you read the Bible, and you read the English Bible, every time the word good shows up, okay? And that word probably shows up about 200 times in the New Testament. Half of the time is agathos. Actually, half the time is another word, kalos. Okay? But let's focus on agathos first. I don't know when next time I'm going to be here. Maybe we'll talk about kalos next year, okay? Like next Christmas. But just since I'm introducing that, I'm going to talk to you about it, but I don't want to go in depth about it because I don't want you to also have the notion, good is agathos. Every time I'm like, I learn it. So every time the Bible, you know the Bible word, that means agathos, you know, it means God. And then like somebody who actually has a Greek Bible, like, no, it's not. It's kalos. And you're in trouble.
Kalos, so Agathos talks about this goodness that's the essence of God. That's the new light that we have of God, is the character, is the inner essence of God's goodness that we now have in Christ. Kalos is also the English word good, but it describes good that's in respect to beautiful. With respect to, like, when Jesus said the good fruit, you bear good fruit, it's not Agathos fruit, it's Kalos fruit. Why? Because the fruit is beautiful. The good fruit that we bear is what we present to others. Something that we present to others that is beautiful, that is sweet, that is acceptable, that is better. You understand that? One is the inner essence that comes with the quality of that real life that God has given us. The other one is how we present to others. So yeah, do you have a good word for me? Yeah, you're doing a good job. That's a good word, right? That's not an Agathos word, that's a Kalos word, right? Okay? You treated people nice. You cared about them. Kenneth is hungry, you know, like, and he hasn't eaten for a few days. And I just learned that because he's sick and he's just cooped up in his room. And then, like, you know, poor sad Kenneth. I'm like, go try to make pot of, what do you do when people have a pot of chicken soup? Okay, chicken soup. I made a pot of chicken soup. And I call my mom and I said, Mom, what do I put in the chicken soup? He said, chicken, some salt, what else do you guys put in? I don't know. And this guy's sick, I want to make it nice. So you made like the best chicken soup ever, right? You bring it to him. That's something that's beautiful. That's a beautiful, good, Kenneth, take a sip, man. That's some good soup. That's Kalos, that's not Agatha. That's not God's soup, that's just good soup. It's a beautiful, sweet, helpful, nourishing, thing, right? It looks good, it smells good, and does me good. Okay? All right, that's Kalos. Let's look at Agathos, and I want to bring you guys to turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Let's see, okay, let's start moving from the back, okay? Susan, you have it? Not yet? Let's see who hasn't spoken yet. Elizabeth!
No.
Oh! Luke 18, 18 and 19.
Wait, so Luke chapter 18?
Yes, Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. So what do you think, what good, what Greek word do you think it's there? It's Agathos. Good teacher. See, it's interesting. This guy who's like good teacher, he just respectfully, but he says, teacher Agathos. That deskalos, Agathos, okay? Teacher. Okay. And then Jesus straight up said, why do you call me Agathos? What do you call me Agathos? There is no one but God who is Agathos. Right? Okay. Now we understand that. So now we go back to Ephesians chapter 2, right? Verse 10. Then I want to ask you, maybe I have you guys do this in groups, all right? I think I led, right? I kind of led you to a place now. You're starting to kind of think, right? Okay, so let's look at Ephesians. Where were we? Ephesians 2, verse 10, right? Okay. For we are created in Christ Jesus. We are the workmanship of God. God worked on us. He set everything up for us. Now that we are created in Christ, without sin, without blemish, now we are suitable to be used by God. See, that's why the life goes up. That's why the life is not up and down, okay? That's human life is up and down. But the life from God, from Christ, is not. But he says you're created now in Christ Jesus for good works. Agathos. Good works. Agathos. That has to do with God. Jesus said only God is Agathos. And those are the words that God had prepared beforehand. So now, let's get in a group a little bit, right? Maybe like 5 minutes? Maybe three people each group?
you know, with your people around you. What is good works then? Right? What do we when we see the word in English, good works, what do we think of good works? Okay, that's the first part. What do we think of when we see the phrase good works? And then now with this understanding that it's actually not just work, that it's good, it's actually agathos, which is related to God and is related to the perfection of God's creation and the new nature we have. Then with that twist, with that added understanding, what would good work be? Do you understand that? So the first is, when you see good works, what do you usually think of as good work? Okay, the second one is, now we understand it's work agathos, then what is that really? Okay, all right, 5 minutes. All right, I think that's 5 minutes, yeah? We had good discussion? All right. All right, what do you guys think? Let's maybe get like maybe two or three groups sharing. Okay, today's Sunday school might be, well, I'll still try to end about the same time, but because the performance will be a little longer. Oh no, actually it has been an hour. Okay, it's already gonna be longer. Oh, but before we go, what do you guys think? Is that pretty cool? I mean, or am I the only one who thinks it's pretty cool to learn some Greek? Like, how many of you are like, yeah, that's cool? Okay, more hands. Oh, that's good. All right, right? Agathos, that's so cool. All right, right? It's good to know, not because now you learn Greek, it's just because it helps you understand the scripture better, and there's a deeper concept, right? Okay. All right, so we kind of move forward. Okay, that group kind of share. Let's go over here. All right, so the first part of the question, like when you read the word good works, when you first kind of see that, what is the connotation you guys typically would have? Like, what would I need to do to have that good work, and what is that good work when you think of that?
It's the process of how you do the work and tell you have when you do it. Not necessarily the results. That's
okay. Not a result oriented, but just the way you do things, you do it good, do it well. Okay, all right. It's good. Anything else you add in that group? No? Okay, all right. How about over here? Is there another separate group there? Is it you guys separate group, the girls here? Yeah, okay. What do you think? Good works. Like when you just hear good work, Christians do good work. What is that?
Oh. And like what other people, well not like what benefit, like the results benefit.
Okay, all right. Wow, that's kind of cool, I guess. Some people focus on the process, some people focus on the result, right? I mean, what you do has to be good at the end in order to be considered good. Okay, all right. All right, very interesting.
Is that a comment, James?
Sure, Scott.
Pastor James, I've had some philosophical discussions with some coworkers that are Roman Catholic, and they insist that they can earn their way to heaven by doing good works.
Right.
They can go to homeless shelter, they can go to a food bank, they can go up and across the street, mm-hmm. up and homeless, but they're going to think they can earn their way to heaven by
right.
doing good works. I think that's not right.
Right.
Because the priests tell them they can do that, so it's got to be.
Yeah.
Wrong way.
Right. Yeah, so what Scott shared with us actually is more specific about what good works may be, right? So in that case, good works is like what? Feeding the poor, volunteering at food banks, you see a homeless, help them find a shelter or give them a meal. You did something good, right? And that's supposed to, you know, it's like you storing credit into your like going to heaven meter, right? Like now I'm doing some good works. I'm throwing more coins in that meter and one day I'll have enough in the meter that I get to enter into heaven, right? Of course, that's wrong because we just read it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, 10, we just read it. What else? Okay, so let's kind of, how about this group, you guys? Good works, what do you think? So these are like philosophical answers, the process, the result, what about for you guys? And then Scott's like more specific.
We just thought of like serving.
Serving, yeah. Like, you mean like doing things at church?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good work, right? Serving, okay, that's good. Alright. So then as we understand, well actually it's if it was work. Oh yes, Cindy.
I just wanted to ask a question real quickly, since
yeah.
you distinguish the two words work, one is agathos and one is kalos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So made, if we're created to do good works, right? And you already distinguished that, you know, bringing soup to somebody who's sick is the kalas, or it's just a nice thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So any of these, you know, quote unquote nice things that
mm-hmm.
are the kalas of work
yeah.
can be done by anybody who is not a child of God. They can work for the homeless, you know, they can help the homeless, they can do all sorts of things, they're not Christian,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean that agathos is something that only children of God are capable of doing? Like only we are, because it's of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
our
That's
works
right.
are not just nice works, because anybody can do them.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah.
So is that...
So, like I was telling you, agathos, this Greek word occurs in the New Testament 103 times, but kalos happens 102 times. And so both are in the scripture, and a lot of it actually came from the gospel, which means a lot of it is what Jesus said. He used both words, so did the apostles, okay? And so both are things we need to focus on, we both need to do, if we were to examine every passage. But that's a good question, because that's what we're focusing. When we focus on Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we're talking about that new life. We're talking about that new birth. We're talking about a person who only has the life from God, that we have Christ. Then the work we do is work agathos. So yes, this is why we're doing this discussion, because then what is that work? Is it only something only a Christian can do, and why? Because it's not just something that's nice. It's not good for humanity. It's not what we consider generally as good. That's exactly what we're answering right now, Cindy. Is, yeah, helping people, is that work? Yeah, is it good? Yeah, it's good, right? You have a beautiful life. I mean, when I say beautiful, I don't mean like you're living in a nice house, wear nice clothes, and drive nice cars, but your beautiful life is that you exhibit good personality, character, you're helping people, you're like upstanding, you're respectable. Those are all good. But is that of God? See, that's why it's important. That's why this verse says agathos work. That's what the second part of the question is. Now if you think about that. Okay, it's work, agathos, then what is that? Because we are less familiar with that now, aren't we? We're less familiar of what that means, okay? So to answer your question directly without, you know, directly is, yeah, someone who does not have Christ cannot have agathos work, because agathos is of God. Jesus says agathos is only of God. But then we are all of God, aren't we? We're the ones who are of God, right? Do we know what a work agathos is? Do we? And how is that different than a normal work that's beautiful or good that anybody can do? That's key. All right, this group, what do you guys think? Now that we know that agathos work, what do you think then is agathos work? What's a work that's related to like God's goodness and his perfect nature and all that? What does that mean? Okay. Okay, evangelizing, sharing the gospel, bring people to Christ. Okay. Discipleship. And what's the last thing you said?
Like spreading his kingdom.
Spreading his kingdom. Okay, kingdom work. That's good. All right. Okay, all right. Let's just swing back. Last group here. All right. What do you guys think over there? Back at the table. Oh, we skipped a group? All right, you guys, there, middle group. Oh! Katrina's like, I mean, what did I call you, Katrina? That was the name that your mom never gave you. But Karina, you guys don't know. I know about that. His mom was going to name her Katrina. But anyways, yeah, Karina was like, I want to get skipped over. What did you guys bring me back?
Kind of what we were discussing was like work is like a part of it. From God, and
okay. Can you guys hear that? Probably not very well, right? It's when we do something, it's more of the heart. Are we doing it for God, or are we doing it for our own glory or our own self? Or is it because out of our attitude of glorifying to God? Okay. So this group talked about something more specific, practical. Now this group is saying the attitude, right? Okay, all right, last group. All right, and we move on and we can wrap up here.
Well, I guess we kind of organically got to a place where, like, when we see in the world good works, it's like pleasing other people. Mm-hmm. Or in a sense, sometimes pleasing yourself. Either benefits other people or benefits yourself.
Yeah.
But with Agathos, it's all about pleasing God.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Tim said is like it kind of makes us focus on pleasing God. And then we went into this idea of like it's not just focus, but like Agathos gives us clarity while in this world to know, you know, what is pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because okay. Yep.
I mean, like, even if, you know, you adopt a kid, that is a very good work.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what if a homosexual couple adopted a kid? That is not pleasing to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a very clear clarity in terms of what is pleasing to God.
Okay. All right, so something that pleases God is we consider as Agathos. It's not the work itself, it's what, how it's done. Is it within, is it please God or not? Okay, that's good. Yeah, so I think this is something that's very important for us to understand. But, you know, before I draw the conclusion, I want to remind you, now that you understand Colossians and Agathos, but obviously, you know, we're not reading the Greek Bible, right? We're reading English Bible. Don't get caught up, okay? When you come across the word good again, don't think that you need to get caught up because, oh, no, I'm confused. Is it Agathos or is it Colossians? Now I got to go read my Greek Bible. Now I can't read Greek, and now, oh, man, like, I don't know what to do. I'm all confused. Don't, because Colossians and Agathos are both what God wants us to do, okay? They're both good. But we have to understand that this good, the concept of good, is not a human concept of good, it's a good of God's standard, right? One has to do with God's essence, God's character, the life we have in God. But the other has to do with how we express that. What is really beautiful, what is really good, what is really beneficial should be what? Something that is of God anyways, right? Yeah, chicken soup for a sick kid would be a good thing, but if I do it out of the love of Christ, if I do it because he's an unbeliever and through this he starts to know this is what a Christian love is all about, or he's a believer, so we said that's what a brotherly love is all about. Not only do I nourish his spiritual soul, I'm going to nourish his physical health because I love him, I care about him. Is that Agathos work? Yeah, because what that does brings God glory, doesn't it? Because what that does is because I am a child of God. What this is saying, brother and sister, is to say that everything we do, it's not just evangelism. It's not just what we do at church. It's what you do at home. It's how you interact with people. It's how you are with your parents. It's how you are with your friends. It's how you approach your work. It's how you are with your coworkers. It's how you speak. It's how you have perspective in how I face life. All of that is work. All of it is what we do. And all of that is what we need to do for the sake of God. It has to be Agathos' work because the life he gave us is that good work, right? I mean, it's that good life. It's perfect. It's pure. It's of God. It's sinless. Now, of course, does it take effort? Oh, it takes effort. It takes effort. And we need to have that in mind. That's why I'm tired too, man. I got my finals to prepare too. But I'm gonna take 3 hours to go shopping and then call my mom and do research, recipe, Instagram, Pinterest. I don't know what you guys, what was it again? What do you guys use to look for recipes? Is it Pinterest? Pinterest, okay, right. And I gotta go cook. Then I gotta go like bring it to this guy. Like, if you think that way, just stop it, you know? Can I just stay home? It's cold, it's wet, it's raining. Okay, forget about it. There's no Agathos in you at all. No, but I love this guy because God wants me to, because I have this spirit in me. I can put this aside and serve God. I'm serving him by serving God. I'm not at church. I'm not teaching Bible study. I'm not evangelizing, but I'm showing God's love, and that's because that's what God wants me to do. You know what? Does God want us to live that way? Yes, in all aspects. In all aspects. So that is the good work. It has to do with God. It has to do with the new life that he has created us for. It has something to do with honoring him. It has something to do with this, brothers and sisters, that when people know you, when your friends know you, when your parents see you, when your, you know, church friends or non-Christian friends or whoever, your coworkers, they see you and they go, you know, there's something different about the work that this guy does. It could be coding. okay? It could be sitting in front of a computer. I don't know what you coders do, but you sit in front of a computer and you just code all day. That's kind of all I know what you coders do. But you're doing your work. But through your work, the way you approach your project, the way you deal with your boss, the way you deal with your coworkers, the way you deal with your customers, the way that you show up for work, the way that you carry yourself when you're at work, is that Agathos work, because you have a new life that people can see. That's ultimately what it comes down to. And that's why once we have that understanding, once we have that concept, brothers and sisters, a lot of the scriptures start to make sense. We're not saved by works, right? We're saved through faith. But doesn't James say that faith without work is dead? Why? Because that work is what God saved us for. How can you not have work? How can you not put your heart into it? How can you not pour in your effort, your mind, your heart, your thought, your time, your energy? I am going to work so hard for it. You know why? Because that's what God created me for. That's not how I'm saved. That's not why I'm saved. That's not how I'm saved, but this is why I'm saved. I have a purpose. God gave you a job. Hey, Sam, how good did it feel when your company gave you the job? You applied for it and they gave it to you. How do you feel?
Very good.
No, very good, right? Right? Your tone and your attitude should match your word. It's like, hey, was dinner good today? Mom asked you, like, yeah, that's good. It's really bad, Mom, but thank you. It's just, come on, right? Very good, right? You apply for school. Hey, when you apply for, I know so many of you are like applying for school right now, like your dream school, the school that you apply for that you know you're probably not going to get in, right? You have that, and you have the school I know I'm going to get, you know, I kind of can't get in, and there's this school that's called Safety Net. Like, I don't really want to go there, but I know I'm going to get in. All right. That school, your dream school, the school that you don't think is going to go, they sent you an acceptance letter. How do you feel? How do you feel? Ecstatic. Hey, you know what just happened? You just put yourself in the hardest school that you have to work the hardest for the next 4 years. You're gonna pay them money. I love this class. I'm gonna pay you loads and loads of money. I mean, my parents will pay you tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars so I get to go work. That's what happened to you. Do you know that? Why are you happy about that? But you're happy. You know why you're happy? Because it's worthwhile. It's worthwhile, right? It's worthwhile. Christian work, it's not laborsome. Christian work is not a burden. Christian work is not like, I'm carrying my cross daily so that I can follow Christ. It's so hard. It's God just gave you a job. God says, I created you so you can work. When you work, you're going to be so happy because the creator of heaven and earth has renewed you and given you the ability to fulfill what he wants you to do. Hey, the king said, hey, Sarah, you're going to come and serve me. Is that an honor? Oh my God, that's an honor. Like, I don't feel like I can do anything. I can just sweep the floor. But he says, no, you can come do something more. That's how it is. That's what this is. Okay? That's why faith without work is dead, because the work and faith is together. That's what God saved us for. Doesn't that verse start to make more sense? Right? Okay. All right. Let's close it with a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this morning. Lord, we're looking at a verse that maybe for many of us are familiar. But, Lord, I know even for myself, looking at just the depth and the breadth and the wisdom and the life that you have in your word is so, so sweet, Lord. Lord, we don't want to enlarge our intellect. It's not about knowing more verses, memorizing more verses. It's not about knowing Greek or Hebrew. But, Lord, these are tools for us to come to know your will and your heart. And how is it, Lord, that these things no longer stay in the realm of intellect? Or no longer stay in the realm of like Christianly things, the things we do at church or the verses that we quote. But how does that translate into our life? Because you have created us, because you have brought us back and restored us back to that beautiful and perfect state of creation, which has always been your will for us. And in Christ Jesus, because of his love for us, because of his death on the cross, because he was born while we're celebrating Christmas, because he was born, we can be renewed and have that new life and be created so that we can do the work you want us to do. I thank you so much that there's nothing we can do on our own that can please you. There's nothing that we can do on our own to be saved. There's nothing we can do on our own to bring you glory. But because you saved us, this life is so precious. And now that you've given us as a job. You've given us a project. You've given us that elevated state to serve you, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And you say, not only in church, at home, at work, at school, just this life that we have, we want to have a glow. We want to work hard and invest and try. And I want to thank you that you even have patience to know that when we try, we will fail. But when we fail, we can come to you and cry out, and you can renew us. And when we're renewed, we can continue to grow and continue to serve and be used by you more and more and more. I just pray, Lord, that today, as we look at these verses, as we look at your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit may work in the hearts of all of my brothers and sisters, and myself included. Lord, help us to know what it means to live out that life of good works, agathos work, God work, things that brings you honor, things that brings you praise, and let that be the life that we show others, and let that be the life that we experience in you. And that is our prayer before Lord, and I know that that is your will for us. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.